Just a reminder, there is a sermon outline inside your worship folder. You can just pull it out if you'd like to follow along with the sermon in it that way. There was a businessman who was on his deathbed, and he calls his friend, who happens to be the executor of his will. And he says to him, he says, "Bill, I want you to promise me that when I die, you will have my remains cremated." And Bill said, "Well, what do you want me to do with your ashes?" And the man said, "Well, just put them in an envelope and mail them to the IRS. And right on the envelope, now you have everything." So, yeah, fitting for what's happening this week, right? If you haven't started your taxes, it's not too late. April 15th is coming. It's a depressing kind of thought, isn't it? A teacher said to their students, "Boys and girls, there is a wonderful example in the life of the ant. Every day the ant goes to work and works all day. And every day the ant is busy. And in the end, what happens?" Little Johnny said, "Someone steps on him." So, yeah. We've all had moments we feel like this, don't we? We know what it's like to feel stepped on, tread on by this world. Life happens. Struggles hit. But the good news is we are not alone. Struggles certainly come into our lives in many shapes and forms. Some of those struggles are physical. Some are mental. Some are emotional. Some are moral. They come in many shapes and forms. Some have to do with work. Some have to do with family. Some even with our faith in Jesus. We go through challenging seasons. But the bigger question is how do we handle those struggles when they hit? And so we're on this sermon series starting today called Unfiltered, looking in some ways at social media and technology and how it's changing us. Some ways for the better and a lot of ways not so much. Whether you are on social media yourself or not, I guarantee we have all been impacted by it. Think of how being a friend of someone has changed through Facebook. And we are friends with someone on Facebook, and what happens if you are unfriended? It can impact you and your family. And look at families today as well. How many are just connected to their technology? And more on that in a little bit. But when we talk about unfiltered, nobody is perfect. As Paul reminds us in Romans 3, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the heart of the message today is looking at the struggle of following Jesus in a selfie world. Back in 2003, the Oxford English Dictionary named selfie the word of the year. The word took the world by storm. Some of you may be wondering, what is a selfie? And some of you are like, "Oh, I've been there, done that. I know what that means." In case you don't know by now what a selfie is, it's a picture that you take of yourself, right? And then you take that picture and you upload it on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever your social media preference is. And we've become a culture of people who stand around and take pictures of themselves. Accidents have happened because of this. People have gotten themselves into trouble for taking selfies. And yet, as we think about a selfie, it's a perfect image and metaphor for our culture today, isn't it? That this culture, this world is all about me. And yet, this selfie struggle is not a new thing. Not only is it happening today, but Paul certainly faced it in his own ministry as well. He saw sin and dealt with it in his letters again and again and again, where people, churches, leaders are focused on themselves and not on God's word. And yet, as we heard in the text a little bit ago, God allows some struggle into Paul's life to humble him, to kill the selfie in him. And one issue caused him heartache. We don't exactly know what that issue was. That thorn in the flesh, he calls it. Some have kind of thought it might have been some skin disease that he had. Others have kind of argued that maybe it was some epileptic seizure thing that he had. But back in that day, there certainly weren't medications to deal with those kinds of things to control the seizures. It would have been a daily reality for Paul. And so Paul prays to God to heal him. Three times, not just once, but three times he asks God for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. And God answers, as we talked about in the children's message, in a very unique way. He says to him, "My grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And that leads to the reason for the struggle. I think the reason for some of these struggles, one of the main reasons, is we lose sight of our identity in Christ. As a follower of Jesus, it is vital for us to understand how important it is to know that our identity is grounded in Jesus. To have an identity with something or someone says that we are joined with it, right? If you identify with something, it means you are a part of it. You identify with that. Some of you are Blues fans, right? I'm not going to ask you to self-identify yourselves, but you can if you want. Some of you are Cardinals fans. I've even heard there might even be some White Sox fans among us here today. I don't know. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, talking about identity, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." It's a picture of identity. Jesus says his identity is in the Father. "I and the Father are one," it says in John 10. Ephesians 1, Paul says, Paul gives a laundry list of blessings that we are given as gifts from God in our connection with Jesus. Simply being in him, in Jesus, identifying with him, living in him, these gifts are ours. But yet, we hit on a harsh reality. That's what the Bible says. But then we look at the world around us today. And we would rather find our identity instead of in Christ. So many are trying to find their identity by the things of this world, shaped by social media, that the more likes you have, the more followers you have, the more shares that you get, the better we feel about ourselves. If someone goes viral, or an image that you post or a video that you share, you've hit internet gold. And not only that, people are trying to be influencers and get deals, brand deals, by being influencers today. And so we take pictures, we filter those videos, we put words around them, we portray to others how we want them to think about us. You know, just yesterday, I was scrolling through social media just to kind of see what was out there. I saw people posting some vacation pics of some tropical place that they went to. There were family pictures. Of course, everyone is all smiling, and it's all a wonderful moment, you know, right? Maybe some Easter pictures. Another person posted a picture of a new pet, a puppy that they brought home. And someone else posted a picture of this incredible meal that they enjoyed. Everything was happy. Everything was good. Everything was amazing. And then I looked at my own life. My life is great, but it's certainly not like these pictures that I was seeing. I was seeing the dirty dishes in the sink, the move that I've got coming up, well, two moves coming up in the near future, the stresses, and I go around all of that whole thing. And it kind of leads you to kind of get depressed, doesn't it? In fact, in the United States, do you know how many times we check our phones? We check our phones once every 12 minutes. We're burying our heads in our phones some 80 times per day. 2 out of 3 people express the need to stop doing this, but they can't. In fact, in 2024, the U.S. Surgeon General urges a warning label to be put on social media, noting that teens spend over 3 hours per day on social media, doubling their risk of anxiety and depression and so forth. Social media technology is impacting marriages and families as well, rewiring our brains like it's a hit of dopamine to think differently and to live differently. And we end up becoming more discontent and depressed. So it's not a surprise that depression is on the rise as well. Some have gone so far as to argue that technology and social media is like a drug in our bodies. John Ortberg says it like this. He says, "All day long, we are bombarded with messages that seek to persuade us of two things, that we are or ought to be discontented and that contentment is only one step away. Use me, buy me, eat me, try me, drive me, put me in your hair. And yet, we need to remind ourselves, social media, technology, they're not bad things. They're a tool. There can be some incredibly great things that happen through social media. I love how I can stay connected with my family and friends across the nation. However, there's a dark side to it as well. For all of its good, the negative is hard to deny. A man by the name of Erica Pickersgill is a photographer, and he took pictures of family with social media. With these pictures, he photoshopped out all of those technology pieces, the phones and the iPads, and he photoshopped all of those things out, and it's pretty revealing as you add these pictures together. And so let's take a look at these pictures that he found, these kids. Let's look at the next image. And do we see ourselves in these? There's another one. This is the last one, I believe. It's pretty revealing, isn't it? And scary. What is the common theme you see in all of those images? You see families and friends and coworkers and our spouses and just kind of vegged out, zoned out with these technologies in our hands. And it's not hard to see the wrong as we look at images like this. And so we think about, as we consider social media and technology today, how is it impacting your family? Could you go this next hour without checking your phone? How many times do you think you check your email in a day, your social media in a day? We see and we feel that something about it is just not right, but yet we can't stop. And for many people, it has become an addiction. And think for a moment, too. You know, highways, and you get on a road, it has a certain destination in mind, right? You get, you know, when I was in Rolla, I'd say, you know, when you get an I-44 east, you're heading towards St. Louis. If you get an I-44 west, you're headed toward Springfield. And so you get on a roadway, and it has a particular destination in mind. So too does social media. Think about the destination of the path that we find ourselves on with social media. Where is it all heading? Paul would see social media as a thorn in the flesh for many today, that we are enslaved by it. He would challenge us to remove that thorn or to learn better ways to manage this thorn in our lives. As Paul prays for his thorn to be removed, listen to Jesus' response we heard a little bit ago. I'll start and I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. But he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, after he asked for the thorn to be removed, "My grace is sufficient, is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Let's join together. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Paul's thorn became a treasure for him. It became something that was a joy, a learning moment for him. It's what faith in Jesus allows us to do. It allows us to rise above our failures, to rise above our sin and brokenness and disappointments and fear and pains. It doesn't mean that these things, these thorns, will be taken away, but it does mean that Jesus walks with us in the midst of those thorns. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, these familiar words, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." And so Paul points to the sufficiency of God's grace, that God is enough. But here's the thing. Social media, technology, AI, it's not going anywhere. So we've got to find better ways to deal with it, to manage it in our families, in our homes, in our own lives. These thorns won't be easily removed. And so the better question is, how can we better manage these tools in our lives? To find your identity in Jesus, not your identity and how many likes you're getting on Facebook or Instagram or social media, to see the rose in the midst of the thorn. And so each week, I'm going to be placing before you a technology social media challenge. And as we're going to seek to maybe create some new habits and behaviors around our technology use, we're calling it the Unfiltered Challenge. And so here's a little bit of the picture that we'll be presenting each week. And so week one is the unfiltered post. And so basically it's just that. Share a picture of something that didn't go perfect for you. Maybe it's this, the burnt dinner. Well, maybe not that extreme, but it could happen. Or the messy room, the dishes in the sink. Or the work fail, or something, you know, you had one job, right? You guys recognize the picture on the right? Yeah, somebody may have been stuck behind that traffic, I don't know. Or maybe you feel you're overwhelmed. Your kids are screaming, your ducks are not getting in a row, they're not rowing, right? And then whatever picture, we'll place that on Facebook, and you can kind of put your picture underneath that as a comment. But whenever you post a picture this week for the unfiltered challenge, is to underneath it, to caption it, Jesus' grace is enough in the mess. To caption it and to know that Jesus' grace is enough. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have our lives all put together. Jesus walks with us in the messes. Because at the end of the day, the struggles that we face are not a social media problem. The struggles that we face are not a problem with technology. Again, they're just tools. But you know what we really have? We have a heart problem. And so this is an opportunity for us as we walk through this series to look in a mirror and to consider not necessarily the social media habits and patterns and behaviors that we have, but where is our heart in relation to God? Because technology is like a window into our souls. It opens up us up to the darker places that are inside of us. And yet, as Christians, we are called to die to ourselves and to follow where Jesus leads. At its core, the selfie struggle is a heart struggle. And so social media is great at connecting people, right? But we need to remind ourselves that it is counterfeit relationships. They're not, yes, we're connecting, but they're not really heart-to-heart, knee-to-knee, elbow-to-elbow, eyeball-to-eyeball relationships. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and so forth. Again, they're all just filtered views and images of reality. As church, we can help people find a better way. Maybe we need to help you and all of us find a better way. And let's be honest. In the weeks ahead, I'm going to step on some toes. I may have already stepped on some toes this morning. Whether you are on social media or not, this is an everyone problem. Because whether we realize it or not, we all are being changed by our technology today. And you think we aren't? AI is going to have huge implications in the years ahead. And so we're going to explore some sticking points for all of us. Contentment, loneliness, compassion, rest, relationships, authenticity. It's a time for us to get real and to get honest with our technology usage. Is it helping us or is it hurting our families, our relationships with others? And maybe for some of us, even right now, the Holy Spirit is tugging at you. It's time to set some limits. Proverbs 4 reminds us of these words. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And that's what we hope to do in this series, to help you guard your hearts. Because maybe your hearts have kind of gone a little bit too far here into social media or technology there. And so it's time to come home. Because we are the first generation in history that carries a mirror, a little computer in our pockets 24/7. If we think about that mirror that we're carrying with us, and we're surprised that we've become obsessed with ourselves, Paul shows us the most beautiful thing about us is not our filtered perfection. It's the power of God that shines through our cracks. As Jesus says, "My grace is enough, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And so the question becomes, are you living for the likes of this world or the well done of the Heavenly Father? May Jesus be your enough, always, today, tomorrow, and forever. Father, we come before you. This is a hard message. This is a hard series that we're beginning today, because it means being brutally honest with some places, honestly, that we might have some addiction and some heart issues that are way out of whack, that are not healthy in our homes and our families and in our places we work, go to school. So we pray that you would use this time, these weeks, this series as a way for us to recenter, recalibrate in our walk with you in this world, to find our identity not in the technology and in the social media that so surrounds us today, but to find our identity in you and you alone, to know that you are enough. So Father, walk with us, challenge us, step on our toes, break us so that your light can shine through. In your name we pray.